We commence reading God's Word at verse number 17 of this passage of the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise thee for thy goodness to us and bringing us around thy word this morning. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt, Lord, just direct our thoughts now and help us, Lord, to be led of thee and guided by thee in the meditation of thy truth. We thank thee and we praise thee for all the leading and the guiding of thy Spirit in days that are past. We thank thee for the clarity of thy precious word. We thank thee for days of testing. We thank thee for the days of trial, which you proved that thy grace is certainly sufficient for your children, no matter what the need. And we pray that on this day that thou wilt bless us as we meditate now upon thy word. We pray that our God, if there's someone today and they're discouraged, maybe their Lord laboring under a great burden, we pray that they might hear that invitation from the lips of the Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, Lord, bless your word to all of our hearts and cover the gathering afresh in the precious, precious blood of Jesus and fill us with thy Holy Spirit, that we will in all things magnify and glorify thy precious and thy holy name. For we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We find here in this passage of God's Word in verse 18, But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. But God led them about. Verse 17 says, it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, but God led the people about. God's leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And we are going to find here that the journey that God is leading them and God is taking them is a journey that is difficult. It is a difficult journey that God said he didn't lead them the near way. He didn't lead them through the land of the Philistines, but he led them about through the way of the wilderness. And so we find that it is a difficult way, but it is not an impossible way. You know, there are many people today, and God is leading you a particular direction this morning, and perhaps in your heart, you find that it is a difficult way. It seems to be that the candle of light is blowing out. It seems to be that you're facing great difficulties. It seems to be that the devil's opposition against you seems to be an intolerable opposition. It seems that the mountain is so high to climb that at times the devil says there is no hope. Maybe there's someone here this morning, maybe a broken-hearted father or mother. And friends, before God, you're grieving, you're heartbroken over a wayward child. And the devil says to you concerning your child that there's no use you praying, there is no use you laboring on, because as far as your children are concerned, or that child is concerned, there is nothing but darkness. In other words, the devil says there is no hope. And maybe the devil is saying, you know, if you're really walking with God, if you were in the center of the will of God, you wouldn't face this problem in your family. You wouldn't face this difficulty in your life. And so the devil will give you a guilt trip. And the devil said, there has to be something wrong with you. There has to be a problem in your life that you're going through this particular situation. And the candle of light, friend, and the candle of hope, it seems to be that the devil is blowing out. Maybe there's someone else, and maybe there's a problem in your home. Maybe it is in your marriage, and the devil, he's pointing to the situation, and maybe there's a husband here, maybe there's a wife here, and there's problems there that you never thought that you would have to face. And the old devil is telling you, in the midst of your sobs, in the midst of your tears, listen, there is no hope. I remember a person ringing me one day, and he said, concerning his home relationship, he said to me, "Preacher, I have lost all hope." And so the devil would seek to say to you, there is no real reason that you should be going this way. You should be going the near way. You should be walking the easy way, the easy path. Instead of being faced with these temptations, instead of being faced with the trials that you're confronted with at this present moment. Now I want you to turn your Bibles with me, and I want us to get hope this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, because there's a verse I want to leave with you. It is a verse number 13 as you face trials, and the devil will tell you that there is no hope and there's no use going on. And it is there in the midst of the darkness, praise God, there's a light here. It's the light of God's precious and God's holy word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse 13, and I want you to read this. And I want you to listen to this carefully. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And it is this passage of God's Word, it is this verse of God's Word that I want to dissect this morning, and I want to expound as God gives us help. And I believe that God will give you help as you listen to the ministry of God's Word today, if your heart is open. And maybe the situation seems to be so lonely and seems to be so difficult. I want you to remember this. In the midst of your deepest trial, in the midst of your darkest temptation, mark these words, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now the first thought I want us to notice in this passage of God's Word, because I am absolutely sure the children of Israel, because you remember they murmured in the wilderness, and they were doubtful why they were going this particular way. They faced many difficulties, they faced many temptations, and I have no doubt whatsoever the devil said, you know, this is all wrong. You shouldn't be walking this pathway. You shouldn't have to face these trials. You shouldn't have to be confronted with these temptations whatsoever. There must be something wrong in your life that you're facing this particular situation. And what the devil does, the devil brings to the child of God a guilt trip that somehow, because their child is wrong, that the problem is with them instead of with their child. And my friend, the devil wants to, as it were, take the burden off and responsibility off the one where the problem is, and the devil wants to put it upon my heart, he wants it to put upon your heart, and he wants to put out the light of hope in your life and tell you there's no use going on because there's something major wrong in your particular life, and that's the cause of the problem. Now let's face the situation. There's some things I want you to notice here. First of all, a common experience. You notice what God says here, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Here is the common experience. You see, God desires you to see whatever you're facing today, it is common to man. Child of God, what you're experiencing, what the situation that you're having to go through, no matter how dark it is, no matter how lonely it is, no matter how difficult it is, the experience that you're going through, the temptation that you're being confronted with, the trial that you're having to face in your life, it is common to man. In other words, that means very simply this, that your present trial has been endured by others, other believers in Christ. You see, the devil wants to nurture within your heart today that nobody but nobody could possibly understand what I'm going through, because nobody but nobody has ever been there. And whenever you get that idea into your heart and the devil sows that seed in your situation, friend, he starts putting out the lights. In other words, he puts you into the, not only into the pool of despair, but you're into the pool of loneliness. And you feel that there's nobody but can understand what you're going through, and nobody can really can help you in the midst of your situation, because nobody has ever stood where you're standing. But the Word of God says the very opposite. There hath no temptation taken you. There is no trial or temptation that you are facing, my friend, but such as is common to man. In other words, you can rest assured this morning that no matter how difficult the road is, or no matter how dark the temptation is, thousands of others just like you have been there, and they have not bowed the knee to Baal. You see, the devil wants to put you into a hopeless situation. And as you can gaze around you, you say, but preacher, there's nobody. There's nobody traveling with me. And you have the feeling of loneliness. You have the feeling of isolation. And you just want to put yourself away into the corner and, as it were, pull the curtains down and the blinds down, because nobody could really understand what you're going through, and that's a lie from the devil. Because God says there's no temptation taken you but such as is common. It is a common experience. In other words, when you look over the path of history of the Christian church, my friend, you will find, even though it may seem that there's nobody else around you, remember this, there are thousands and tens of thousands of footprints on the sand that have walked there before you. There are many others that have been walking down that track. You say, but my heart's breaking. Yes, and so is theirs. They have gone that way before you. Maybe it comes to failure and temptation. And the old devil says to you, you know, there's no hope for you, because if really people knew that you've fallen to temptation and you're falling on your face like that, you're a disgrace as a child of God. And the devil says, listen, you're failures. Nobody has ever done that before. And the devil wants to put out the light of hope. Let me tell you, friend, the pathway of failures is a pathway that many, sad to say, is walking to. And the monsters of hell that are assaulting you today in your life, remember, those same monsters have attacked many others who are born again believers. But listen to me carefully, praise God. They have come forth as gold. In other words, God gave them victory. You see, the devil tells you there is no hope. The devil looks at you and you're lying there down in the gutter and mire of failure. And the devil says there's no use getting up, because you're such a failure. Nobody will trust you anymore. Thank God there's victory in Jesus. Thank God there is an answer. Thank God, instead of failure, you can be victorious if you but use the same weapons as others who walked before you did. But I want you to think a little deeper in that. Because what the Word of God says is this: there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And whenever you think about that a little deeper, friend, not only can you be assured that many others and countless thousands of others have walked that same way before you, and their footprints are in the sand of time. But it means something else. It means that the Savior also faced those temptations too. Behold the man. Behold the man. And whilst it is true that he is God, the very God, he humbled himself, he took upon himself the form of a man, and he walked amongst men, and he faced the same temptations and the same trials, friend, that you and I are facing. But praise God, he came forth victorious. He never yielded to one of them. When I think about those words, no temptation hath taken you, but such as is common to man, then I realize this, that Jesus faced this too. You say, how do I know? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, concerning our blessed great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 4, look down at verse number 14. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but mark this, but was in all points tempted like as we are. You see, it's common to man. And he who is the God-man, he faced the same temptations, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, I'll tell you, the devil didn't tell you that, did he? The devil didn't tell you that Jesus was faced the same temptations that you're facing, yet without sin. No, friend, because he wanted you to feel that nobody ever walked that way before. That you're such a failure. That you faced temptations that you should never have ever faced. And yet the Word of God says that Christ Jesus, our great high priest, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. But what does that mean? I'm sure in your minds today there are temptations that the devil brings up into your heart and your mind today and say, was Jesus tempted with that particular temptation? When it says here he was in all points tempted like as we are. My friend, what the Holy Ghost is saying here is that in actual fact all of temptation is summed up in three categories of temptation, 3 points. And no matter what temptation that you ever have to face, friend, there are 3 points of temptation. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. And there we have, just summarized very simply for us, the points of temptation. And the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, in all points. Not in some of them, but listen, in all points. In other words, that is common to man. Oh, the devil would want to make you isolated. The devil wants to make you feel that, my, nobody but nobody could ever experience this, and I can't share it with anybody. I can't even tell it to the Lord because I shouldn't be facing such a temptation. But the Word of God says that in all points, like as we are. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 16, this is what it says. Verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so therefore what you find is that the 3 points that is spoken of, the 3 points of temptation that comes to attack the child of God today, it is the lust of the flesh, it is the lust of the eyes, it is the pride of life. And of course, I've said to you before, when you turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 4 and you find the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness, you will find that in actual fact, those were the very same points of temptation. The summary of all the temptation, it came in the lust of the flesh, it came in the lust of the eye, and it came in the pride of life. See, the lust of the flesh, whenever you think about that, that's the devil's appeal to your old man. You see, some people tell me that, you know, when a person gets saved, the old man gets annihilated. Wishful thinking. Because I can tell you this, a man said one time, well, listen, if the old man's dead, he certainly is a lively corpse because he's given me a lot of trouble. And I'll tell you, my friend, the old man, the devil appeals to the old man. You see, the flesh doesn't mean the hands and the feet and the eyes and the hair and the skin. It means the old nature, what we receive from our natural birth. The spiritual man is what we receive from the second birth. The new birth. And the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that there's a war that goes on inside. And whenever we think about this, the lusts of the flesh, that emphasis is upon our doing or our passions. The desire to enjoy the pursuits of our passions. Now, God has made us in such a way that God has given us passions. God has given us normal appetites and God has given us normal desires. But you see what the devil seeks to do, friend? The devil seeks to pervert those normal desires and those normal appetites. And the devil tells us to abuse them. And the devil tries to get us to misuse them. Those things that are good, those passions which God has placed within us, those desires or appetites that God has placed within your being that are good of themselves, but the devil wants to pervert them. And so the devil seeks you to yield to your sinful desires, the old man's desire, the unruly desires, the uncontrolled desires. In other words, the devil says to you, do it! It doesn't matter what it is, do it! We live in a permissive society. And the permissive society says, listen, do it. Whatever you desire, whatever this lust of the flesh is, it doesn't matter what it is. There should be no restraint. In other words, just do it. Many of our young people know exactly. The devil is thrown aside in society and even in our day schools. Has thrown aside all restraint. And tells our young people to yield to the lusts of the flesh. Friend, whenever they do it, they lose. A young woman loses her virginity. A young man loses his cleanliness. From that moment on, he and she knows they're not clean anymore. The lust of the flesh. But you see, that's what the world's doing. That's what the world's saying. You see, the Word of God says that we're not to love the world because all that is in the world, lusts of the flesh, passions, the pursuit of our own appeals, our own desires. Do it. Lord Jesus was out in the wilderness. And the Lord Jesus was unhungered. He's been tempted of the devil. He was spending time before his Father. The old devil attacked him. The old devil doesn't want you to spend time with your Father in heaven. And the old devil will come. And as he was fasting there in the wilderness, the old devil comes and said, listen, you see those stones? You know, you could make those bread. Now, there was nothing wrong with bread in itself, then. That would satisfy the hunger. But Jesus was fasting in the wilderness. He was fasting. And so the devil said to the Lord Jesus, he said, listen, you don't need to be hungry anymore. Do you not feel the pangs of your hunger? Is there not a natural desire for food? Yes, there is. So what do you do? satisfy your desire. Satisfy it. Although Jesus was fasting. You don't need to be hungry anymore. You just turn those stones. You make them bread. The lust of the flesh. And then notice the lust of the eye. And that has to do with our possessions, because our eyes have desires also. You remember whenever Eve, she looked on the fruit, and whenever she saw it, there was a desire in her heart, and there was a desire to make her wise, and so therefore she wanted the fruit. It seemed good. It was something that she should have. You see, that's exactly what this next point of temptation is. It's not doing, it's having. Having. And so the meeting of our needs and having, friend, of themselves, that's not wrong. That's not wrong. It's not wrong of itself. But the Bible tells us that we are to be content with such things as we have. The Bible says that we are to be, let your conversation be without covetousness. The Word of God reminds us that we're to learn in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But you see, the old devil wants to make us dissatisfied with our lot. In other words, listen, grab, get. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter how you get it. All you've got to do is reach out for it. And so we find the lust of the eye. It appeals to the material. You've got to have it. Remember the Lord Jesus was taken up into the high mountain? And the devil showed him the kingdoms of the world. And he said, listen, I'll give you all those. You can have all those. You can have them. If you'll only bow down and worship me. You see, he showed them. He showed them, the Bible says. He showed them. He let his eyes gaze upon them. He got his eyes fixed upon them. And when his eyes fixed upon them, then he desired to have it. And all you've got to do, he says to the Lord Jesus, all you've got to do is bow down and worship me, and I'll give them to you. You can have them. You see, temptation's common to man. And friends, this morning, let me tell you, we live in a society also that's motivated in that way. Motivated by having. Now, having of itself is not wrong, because people often quote the scripture just whenever they want to get at somebody and they want to really, want to get a message delivered. They tell us that money is the root of all evil. The Holy Ghost didn't say that, friend. What the Holy Ghost did say was this: the love of money was the root of all evil. In other words, whenever we lust upon something and have got an eye upon it and a desire to have it, whether we can afford it, whether we should have it, whether God wants us to have it, the devil says, you get it. So I have to say, many people go over their neck. And they go beyond not only stretching themselves, but they go far beyond stretching themselves. It's not that they need it. It's they want to have it. And that's the lust of the eye. Is there something in your heart this morning? Let me tell you, friend, you've been setting your eye upon it. And the lust of your eye and the lust of your flesh are craving after it. And yet God says, don't touch it. God has put the barrier there, and God says, you can't have it. Listen, here's a young man, and he sees a beautiful young woman. And he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants to walk with God. But listen, the devil sets your eye upon a young woman who's not saved, who's not in your family, because she's a child of wrath, even as others. And here you're a child of God, and the devil sets your eye upon her, friend. Listen, and as the devil sets your eye upon her, there is a lust of the flesh, because you desire her. And the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye mingle together. And the devil says, listen, it doesn't matter what the preacher says. It doesn't matter what your family says. It doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what God says. Listen, you have her anyhow. And I want to say something before God. You may have her. And you may take her. But let me say something. You don't know the heartache that you'll have with her. Because you'll not walk in disobedience with God, friend, and get God's blessing upon that union. And I say to you, young men, this morning, listen, far better to wait on God's choice, far better wait on God's leading. Listen, far better to be alone and have God's blessing than take someone that will blight your life and break your heart. Because let me assure us, there's a God in heaven, friend. The wages of sin, you pay. And there's many a footprint over the sand of time that could join the preacher in the pulpit today and say, preacher, warn them from me. You don't disobey God and prosper. You see, it's common to man. Oh, you say, I wouldn't be tempted. Listen, I hear somebody say, I wouldn't be tempted in such a fashion. Listen, friend, who do you think you are? You super? In fact, you're so special that you're above Jesus. Listen, he was in all points tempted. Oh, but not you. You just read the wee verse before. The verse 13. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed. You're just ready for the fall, friend. You're ready for the fall. Do you know what God's doing this morning? God's putting a barrier up. God's in love and mercy. He's stopping you from falling. And then it says this, not only is the love of the world summed up in the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye, but then it says the pride of life. Pride of life. You say, well, that doesn't happen. Let me tell you, friend, there's pride in every one of us. There's pride in every one of us. And God hates our pride. And when you see a person standing, well, I'll soon tell them and they'll not tell me. And my, what do you see? You just see the old resurrection of the old man of pride. Man gets up. You see, whenever we have one, the emphasis is on doing. That's the lust of the flesh. And having, that's the lust of the eye. Listen, being. That's the pride of life. And is it not true that this is a temptation? We live in a materialistic world today that is driving many of us as God's people. It's driving us. And do you know what people are trying to be? They're trying to be something. We should never, friend, forget where God has taken us from. And if God does bless you and God does give you a different station in life, friend, just don't get beyond yourself. Don't lose who you are and what God has made you. And you see, sad to say, many young people today are in real trouble because they're trying. They're trying to keep up with Joneses. They're trying to keep up with others. And therefore they want to be noticed. They want to be something. That's the pride of life. They want to be noticed. They want to call attention to themselves. Why do you think that some people dress outlandishly? But to tell you the truth, years past you would have hid. You'd have hid yourself rather than go out in it. Your mother bought you that. You nearly cried your eyes out. I'm not going out But you see, people want to draw attention to themselves. I want to be somebody making a statement for them. Why do people pull others down? Why do people gossip and try to spread as bad news as they possibly can about so many things? Listen, they want to pull somebody down. Why? Because they want to build themselves up. God forgive us. The pride of life. You see, friends, listen, no temptation has taken you, but it's common. It's common to man. Don't you think you're exempt from all this? This is the summary of your life and mine in the old man. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ? He was taken to the pinnacle of the temple. And what did the devil say to him? He said, listen, throw yourself down. And whenever you're throwing yourself down, listen, God will send his angels and now they'll sweep you up. And people will say, look at him! Look at him. He gives angels charge over you. And all the eyes will be gripped on you, Jesus. Just you throw yourself down. Be something. I want to tell you, when you go to that verse in Hebrews, it tells us, yes, that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet, mark this, yet without sin. Without sin. And whenever we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and you're feeling, my, there is no hope, and the devil's saying, listen, you're not going to make it. You're going to be such a failure here. You get your eyes upon the Lord, friend, because let me tell you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, verse 27. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 37. It says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Look in Hebrews chapter 2, very quickly. Verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them, you. He's able to succor you that are tempted. And that's the first thought here. It says here, a common experience, common to man. But go back to the verse just for a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But mark the next part. But God is faithful. See, the devil wants you to, might think that there is no hope, that there's no way out, that there is no victory, that there's nothing but failure because you're facing that lonely pathway. Listen to these words. But God is faithful. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, I draw your attention to a little verse there. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, says this, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. And then underline these next few words, the faithful God. The faithful God. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keepeth commandments to 1,000 generations. I haven't time to go into this morning, but let me tell you, we serve a faithful God, a God who is faithful in all the promises that he makes to his people. God never made a promise, but thank God he's able to keep. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, listen to this, he has said. He says, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. You know what that means? In the deepest temptation, in the deepest trial, in the darkest moment of your life, friend, no matter what that situation that confronts you this morning, listen, here's a promise, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Who has promised this? The faithful God. The faithful God. The God who does not break His word. The God who will never let you down, no matter what the situation is. Some years ago, there was a dear man and his wife, and they were facing a situation, they always had their family prayer and their family reading. And they gathered round as a wee family at night before they went to bed, and they were opened the Word of God, and they read the Scriptures together, and then the father made a few meditations upon it. And then they sang a wee verse of a hymn, or a wee hymn together. And that night it was a wee hymn. It simply said, God will take care of you. And as they were singing that hymn together, and after they prayed, they put the children to bed. And now they put the children to bed that night. They then sat down for a few moments together, and they just talked together about the situation of the day. And then they talked about those Scriptures they had read, and then they talked about the verses they'd sung. And they said, you know, remember that wee last verse? No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. And of course, they rejoiced together in that thought that the faithful God would see them through, no matter what. Next day, husband went to work. The wife, she was doing her chores around the house and looking after the children. And she felt this awful pain in her head. And when she felt this pain in her head, it got so bad that she had to go and call a doctor. Called the doctor, and they said that she'd have to go to the hospital immediately, and she went to the hospital. They found out she had a tumor in the brain. And of course, they diagnosed that they needed to do an emergency operation. They sent for the husband, and he came running as fast as he could. The children came, and the children were crying. And because of, didn't know what was the future, didn't know what was lying before them. And as the wife was prepared for the theater and all her head had been shaved away, and husband went in just before she went into the theater, and they sat down and they said, we want to pray together. His wife turned to him and she said to him, John, do you remember the wee verse of the hymn that we sang last night before we went to sleep? No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. And she turned to him and she said, John, do you still believe it? Do you still believe it? See, listen, friend. The situation was changed. Last night there was nothing but happiness. It's easy to say, no matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. But everything's going fine. But now the hair was shaven. Now they were getting the theater ready. The doctors didn't know what the future would be. They couldn't promise that you would see through. John, do you still believe it? He took her by the hand, and before God they vowed that no matter what, they would believe the faithful God would see them through. And that's what I want to say in closing this morning. No matter what situation you're faced with this morning, no matter how dark, no matter how lonely it may seem, you remember this. But God is faithful. God's faithful. Spurgeon said, Satan is not allowed to keep the keys of his own house, for the keys of death and of hell hang on the girdle of Christ. And without God's permission, the dogs of hell cannot even open his mouth to bark at a child of God. Much less can he come and worry any of the sheep whom the Lord hath called by his grace into his fold. So then, beloved, you have great cause for comfort from the fact that the temptation that tries you is still under the control of the faithful Creator, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. The faithful God. Rest, weary one. And there's someone saying to me, Preacher, it's a long time since I had a good rest because of my situation, because of the family, because of the problems. I just can't sleep. Listen, friend. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. Who said that? The faithful God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that your children have an anchor today that the ungodly know nothing about. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure, even though the billows roll. Anchor to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Oh God, give your children grace today to go through no matter what the cost. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.